You may be seated. I have to ask, since I wasn't here last Sunday, who went shopping on Black Friday? Anybody? Nobody. What in the world? I have to admit it, I did. I went to Target, and I'm not talking about the mini Target. I'm talking about a real Target. And I went to the Walmart. It was much calmer than I was expecting, but granted, it was already the afternoon. Now I want to ask you a very serious question, very important question. Who has all their Christmas shopping done? Jeff. If Pastor Roman were here, she'd raise her hand too. But I remember growing up, at least I think this is what I remember as I grew up, that Mom and Dad, they would start to save for Christmas months beforehand to be sure that my brother Travis, my sister Katie, and I would have a memorable Christmas, and that we would have a wonderful Christmas dinner at our home for our entire family, since for some reason our house became the go-to holiday dinner place for Easter, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. But you got to look at it. This is part of who we are as an American society. We have everything at our fingertips, don't we? Or at least within 15 miles of port, right? Ain't the Stop and Shop open 24 hours? So if I got a craving for Duncan Hines double chocolate frosting at 2 a.m. while working on a sermon for the first Sunday of Advent, I can get in my car, drive a mile to said Stop and Shop, and get some chocolate frosting. And then proceed to enjoy it thoroughly while sitting in front of my laptop and the family sleeps. That is not a true story, just so you know. 2 o'clock in the morning this morning, I was sound asleep. But oftentimes, we take for granted what we have. We don't realize what we really have, though, until it's gone and we start missing it, desiring it, or maybe even lusting after it. It's those things that our minds are set upon, or those things that we know we could either never afford or acquire, that sometimes, though, get in the way of God in our lives, that get in the way of our faith and our commitment to God and to the body of Christ, the Holy Church, this faith community. There are things that hold us back from truly experiencing what it means to be the community of Christ and to be Christ-like, to experience the peace of mind that comes with faith in our Lord. You know, if it happens in this or in any place of worship where that is the norm, then that body of faith becomes void of its meaning because they're not striving to be like the body of Christ. And they're not centered on the message of Jesus and the gospel. They have essentially become a social hall, an Elks Lodge, Masonic Lodge. At least I'm guessing. I don't know what Masons do. Or a group that just gets together, chats over coffee, or another group that rides motorcycles for the fun of it. Now, don't get me wrong. I've always wanted a little sportster, but Pastor Romy won't let me have it. And after living here for 5 months, I don't think I want it anymore, so she's off the hook. But even pastors, we like to have some nice things too and some toys for enjoyment. I never dreamed of the day I'd live near so much water, especially in a community that has not one but two boat ramps within just a couple miles. And then you got, what is it down there, the Jones Beach and Robert Moses and that Captree State Park with their boat launch. My goodness, I got to get me a little bay boat, but no. I know better. I got to be happy and content with my holy rowboat and kayak. Y'all know why I call them holy? Because they both leak. Yes, that's right. They both leak. Both of them got holes in them. Not large holes. I got one covered with tape and the other one I got some epoxy I got to put on it. But it's these things that we, in a way, long after and lust after, that get between the progress of our faith. It's these things that stand between us and offering ourselves through our prayers, presence, gifts, our offerings, our service, and our witness to God and in this place of faith. Yet we do know that we're not all perfect beings, are we? We are that wonderful dichotomy of saint and sinner together, combined into every fiber of our being, but we know that and often face that struggle at some point when one overwhelms the other and our hearts and minds become hardened to God. But then, because we're also a saint within us, we recognize those faults in ourselves and we turn or return to God, and we celebrate the fact that Jesus welcomes us back with open arms and is just as joyful as the daddy was when that child returned back home after going wayward. So here we are, the people of God, gathered together to worship and to celebrate, to sing praises, to offer God our very selves. And when we do so, we gather together. We do it joyfully, don't we? Who wants to be sad and somber when we worship our Lord? I mean, the very good news is the fact that as we gather together with joyful hearts and minds, we recognize that God is indeed inherently good. And we have been created in that same fashion. And the fact that God is good and has made each of us in that very divine image means that we also seek and desire to be the good, honest, and truthful beings in whose image we're created. I guess that's indeed a challenge for our faith today, especially during this Advent season. But it's like this year is quite a bit different. Y'all who saw me at the Thanksgiving ecumenical service at the Reconstructionist Synagogue, y'all done heard me say this. I like to call it like I see it, and I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing, but there's an obvious tension that is indeed present in our world and in our lives during this Advent and Christmas season than has been in years past. Because God calls us to be better than the hate and the bigotry and the openly racist society that we have become, culminating through someone who shows more respect to a turkey than a woman. And I keep hearing that, no, it's freedom of speech on certain news networks. No, it's not. Those who confess blood and soil, they seek to instill fear and terror in the hearts of others. And many may say that, oh, it's not why we're there. They're just some of the bad apples, that we're not the racist ones. But when David Duke shows up, something about the company you keep pops into my mind. Or even back in college, when you get pulled over, what are you? You are guilty by association, right? The noise of what we know is a clear minority in our country have hijacked the morals and values of American society. And as a people of God that desire to move forward instead of sliding backwards, where's the hope that we claim to seek this first Sunday of Advent? Where's the hope that keeps us centered in Christ? Well, that hope comes from the thousands that show up to counter the few that are instilled in hate. Hope is that blossom in our hearts that continue to tell us that we're going to leave this world in better shape than it was given to us and entrust our children to be the best disciples of Christ they can be. So we can live in hope that this year, that next year, it's going to be different. That things are going to change, that we will look after the poor as a nation, that we're not going to strip away what dignity someone has, working their fingers to the bones, that life after birth is going to mean just as much as it does when that child is still in the womb, and that our lives will get better, and that our faith in God will increase, not just as individuals, but as a community that has gathered together. And I like using the word community because it's more encompassing than family. Because some people hear family and they have nightmares of those Christmas pictures where everyone's got the knit sweaters that match. The other day at the doctor's office, the nurse was taking my vitals and, you know, that long list of questions that they ask. And then she got to that last one, my personal favorite. Is there any mental illness in your family? Oh my goodness. All I could do was literally laugh at that point because I felt so miserable. But that we as a community, we are brought together under and with God and our presence here. And we become stronger because we stand united against the hate and evil in our society. Lord knows we may not be of one mind. We may not all agree on every single thing. But we know that when God said to welcome the stranger, we don't get all xenophobic. This is conquered in our sinful nature when we practice what Paul told the church in Rome to do, to let us live honorably and put on the Lord Jesus Christ, making no provision for the superficial to gratify our secular desires. And although the Apostle Paul wrote this passage we heard from Romans long ago, it perfectly describes the challenges we have for us in this season. Because day-to-day obligations increase as Christmas nears, and people think about entertaining and shopping and decorating and duties that have to come to define that perfect Christmas for us and for our families. Yet the best point remains. Deliverance is near. Dawn is about to break. God intercedes in our affairs to provide something life-giving to us, something real, something lasting. And it's far from that temporal satisfaction we get from acquiring goods and possessions, because God's incredible love is dwelling among us. Whether here in port or across the ocean with orphans of war in a refugee camp, or the undocumented immigrant living among us as a perfect person, just like each and every single one of us in our society. We are receiving a gift beyond anything conceived by humanity and marked with a price sticker on the store shelves. Because if we truly want a life-given Christmas, drawing closer to God's got to take a priority over any material desires on this year's wish list. And for week one of Advent, we focus on living into eternal hope. Carrying hope for others, knowing that no matter what we go through, we're never alone, because as a community, we walk together caring for one another, and we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're standing for those who others want to silence or to get rid of. And even then, we have moments where we may feel broken, and God's going to end up breaking through those circumstances, and the light of Christ is going to shine in our lives. So we got to let the focus of this worship time and of our lives, as well as all other activities of the weeks ahead, be put into this one true hope that out of despair comes deliverance, out of suffering comes relief, and out of loneliness comes community. So that when we sit down and we write out our Christmas list or our Christmas dinner menu, we can also put hope down there. Hope that we're going to strive to seek God first in our lives. You know, we're a people that have been given a lot. We've been blessed with so much. And we use what we've been given to let the light shine around the world, to stamp out the evil and the hate that has arisen among us. May our cup of thanksgiving overflow to the rest of God's creation this Advent and all the days of our lives. And may we be the good and decent human beings we are created to be, and stand against the violence, the hate, and the evil. Amen?
Amen.
Thanks be to God. Now as we prepare for Holy Communion, let our hearts and minds be in a time of prayer.